in blood, it shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a child is given, a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. I've had the opportunity on a number of occasions. Well, I'm going to say attempt sing the Messiah by George Frederick Handel. It was composed in 1741, and surprisingly, if any of you have heard of it, it was composed in 24 days. And it goes throughout Scripture and by prophecy and by actuality, it tells the life of Christ. The one who is to come, the one who is to fulfill, the one who is to accomplish everything that God has said and promised. And as we're here tonight, we're going to look at a certain portion of that. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And what we're going to be looking at throughout the Old Testament, we get sacrifice. We would go over to Leviticus. Early chapters, we find out through the burnt offering, which satisfied God. It was for God alone and completely burned up. It wasn't shared. God alone. And next came the sin offering, where the sins of the people would be completely washed and cleansed because of the sacrifices that were made. But then there comes, well, I don't know that sacrifices are that joyful, but this is the one that is something to be rejoicing in, because it has to do with a peace offering. It is sometimes also called the communion or the fellowship offering. And why is that? Well, if we were to go over to 1 John 1, 1 John 4, we would find out that there's such a thing as called propitiation. Kind of an accounting term that barely means that everything has been satisfied. It's like you having a debt that maybe you couldn't owe or couldn't pay. How would you go about doing it? And then someone comes in and actually pays the debt for you. And it's completely satisfied. And once said, God is satisfied with this. You're satisfied as well. Not satisfied in the sense of getting a nice meal, but the debt that was ours has been completely taken care of. Peace offering is called a sweet savor offering. Turn, if you will, over to Ephesians chapter 4. And we find out that whenever we look at this particular portion, we find out it's not a what, it's not a sacrifice in the sense of an animal. Find out that starting with verse 14, for he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself plain one who hands the man. How wonderful it is to know that it's Jesus Christ himself who came to fulfill and to complete everything that was prophesied thousands before. To give us a hint in writing that those promises are and have been completely fulfilled in the person and work of Christ on your behalf. So though we had that there is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. What the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. It's not something that we have to do. Not something that we have to accomplish. It's not something that has to be developed. It's something that has been done. Someone had once said that it's in a tense that I'm not sure I understand completely. But we look at it in the past tense as having been done. In the present tense, in that it is being done. And in the future tense, that it will be done. You and I will never have to wonder about any kind of a peace with God, because that peace is in the person of Jesus Christ and what his accomplishment was on the cross. It has nothing to do with us. But it has everything to do for it. I rejoice in that, because it says, if I were to look over my life's history and I would look and wonder what in the world God could ever do with somebody like me, and I find out that it's all been accomplished. Because I came to know Jesus Christ at an early age, but it didn't mean anything to me in the sense of what I'm talking about today. A lot of things had to change in my life. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the wonderful joy of knowing that right now, whether you realize it or not, you're as fit for heaven as you'll ever be. Why? Because it's been an accomplished fact. You'll never, never, never have to worry about whether or not the blood was sufficient to take care of your sin yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And we have it. Turn over to Colossians, chapter 1. Starting with verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist, for he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has to be recognized. Interesting that when we think of the Prince of Peace, we could look at it in its original sense. That is, that he is the highest authority. He's the originator. He is also the fulfillment. And if you ever had anything to rejoice over, that is that you've got a Savior. Right now, is pleading with God on your behalf for any and everything that you've ever had against you. You are as fit for heaven today as you were. Philippians 4:7. For the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. There is such a thing as the peace of God, the peace from God, and the peace with God. And it would take a little bit of time to try to sort both of those out, but what I'd like to try to understand is that peace. We have peace of God, which merely means that he's given us all the assurances that we'll ever need in order to say, I love you, and I gave my son for you, and you have peace. We have the peace of God, which is within myself, that says, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. It is something that is done. And we have the peace of God. Somebody once said that probably one of the sins that we most worry about is doubting God's goodness. Here we have for us something in which we have that wonderful peace, that peace that passes all understanding. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. We can look to the very one who accomplished it all. But what about all those sacrifices? If we were to turn over to Hebrews. Chapter 10. Starting with verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. Wherefore he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice an offering, thou wouldst not. But a body hast thou prepared for me. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you've had no pleasure. Then I said, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written unto me to do thy will, O God. But when he said, sacrifice an offering and burnt offerings for sin, thou wouldst not. Neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all. Hebrews 13. verses 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, whom be glory forever and ever. Finished work of Jesus Christ here. Yet nothing we had a week or so ago can separate us from his love. That whatever was against us, Satan can accuse, even our own selves, that we have in our minds some kind of a concept that maybe I'm really not as good as I should be. And that we need to do something in order to gain his approval. Somehow or another, I have to do something, and what finding out, it's not anything that I can do. It's what's already been done. And I can rest in that. I can look at my life and I can say, yes, but the blood that Jesus Christ shed is all sufficient. We would go over to 1 John 1, we'd find out, 1 John 4, that there's such a word, it's called propitiation. Kind of one of those words in Scrabble that you kind of wish you could throw down because it's, you know, it's a 50-point word. But it's nothing more than a payment. It's again, propitiation is an accounting term, a promise that has been fulfilled. It means the debt has been completely paid, that you'll never have to worry about getting some kind of a bill in the mail that says, by the way, this is God, this is how much you owe, and this is what you have to do. We don't have that to worry about, because then we see the person in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and find out that it's all been done. And we have peace with God. The one to whom all the prophets and all of Scripture foretold and put it about him, that it was accomplished. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. Know then right now, Jesus Christ, God the Father, are on high, ever smiling upon your children, looking at us with all the love and compassion. You and I are now thankfully at complete peace within ourselves and God. And it was accomplished because God was willing to relinquish his Son. I kind of wish there was something more I could say to add to it, but quite honestly, yeah, I think pretty much everything has been said that needs to be said, and that is that you and I will never have to face judgment. You and I will never have to come before God ever wondering whether or not he'll love us, that he has loved us, or that he will love us. It is something for which we can bank on. It is a promise that has been fulfilled 2,000 years ago and is still active today. You and I are going to enjoy a bliss and a joy that we probably never had otherwise. And yet, Satan is always around trying to make us doubt God's love, God's caring. A friend of mine texted, wondered why in the world God would ever allow all the stuff that's going on in USA today in the world. And he said, why would a good God ever do such a thing? And yet, he was the one that brought me to Christ. You might think that's kind of an oxymoron, because how in the world could somebody say something like that and not have the assurance? As far as the East is from the West, so far as we both are transparent. We need to close this. Time for us to pray. But that this time of prayer should be something of a joyful time, because every single one of us has enough on our plate to bring before the throne of grace. I've always thought, I don't use the word throne of grace very often. I look at the mercy seat. I look at how God, Son, in his mercy, grace, and love for me, shed his blood. By grace, by mercy, and by love. And as we pray, I hope my prayer anyway, that somehow or another we would realize how rich and blessed we are to have this wonderful peace. And it's all in the person and work of Jesus Christ that was accomplished 2,000 years ago. Our Father, we thank you for the opportunity to open your word today. We thank you that it is a message to us all to again remind us of how much you loved us, and that the blood of your Son brought peace. And that's that peace that passes all understanding. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son. Thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit to indwell us, to seal us, and to keep us, and to help us down here. We thank you for a Bible in a language we understand. We thank you for a home in heaven that's waiting for the trumpet to sound, and those of us who are here will be raised. So much to be thankful for. As we come before this mercy seat, this throne of grace, help us to be mindful that there's nothing too hard. And so we commit our time to you and thank you for it all in the precious name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.